This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We are sponsored by Sunbury Motor Company, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Should be an interesting show. Matt's going to join us in a little bit. I'm sure he has some rants to get on. don't know if you... I guess we talked about it a little bit near the end of the... It was kind of going on when we were on the show yesterday. Hope you got a chance to see at least part of Jason Kelce's speech yesterday. I think it went 40 minutes, kind of see what he means to the team and to the city. You get why he's retiring, but he seemed to be still, I don't want to say in the top of his game, but pretty close to what he once was, and it's going to be interesting. That puts a lot of pressure on Cam Jurgens, who played guard a lot of the year, but was drafted to be Kelce's replacement, and now all you have to do now, sir, is step in and replace one of the greatest centers of all time, one of the main cogs in what the Eagles like to do offensively, be it, you know, he pulls a lot for a center in their run game, plus he was the big basis for the tush push and one of the reasons why it was so successful. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Eagles handle some of that. Locally, PIAA wrestling tournament, 2A, 3A, and girls begins Thursday. Alex Reed from Shikellamy, I believe, Tucker Teets from Seals Grove is in 3A, and there is a wide variety of locals in the area in class 2A. I believe Warrior Run has the most with five, Lime Mountain has more than one, there's several schools with more than one. Let's be honest. It's going to be, I'm interested to see how that works this year, just because they're running all three tournaments at the same time. Girls is going to go on at the same time as the boys and, as both boys tournaments, 2A and 3A. It's going to be a long night there when, Thursday and Friday, down at the Giant Center. So it's going to be interesting to me to see how they handle all of that stuff and how late into the night it does end up going. This is the first year that they've run all three at the same time. I'm kind of wondering, you run up against, running the other state finals, swimming, I believe is next week, and then the state basketball finals. So I don't know where you would move one of those wrestling tournaments at the Giant Center to get a little more time and a little less time spent on the mat. But it looks like some of those sessions are scheduled to start after 8 o'clock on Tuesday or on Thursday and Friday. So again, I think they'll have to figure out a little better schedule for that. And then of course the PIAA basketball playoffs start this week as well. Got lucky enough with this since the pandemic with the first round home games. This area has a lot of home games. Seals Grove's home in Seals Grove boys are home in Class 5A. They play Muhlenberg in 4A. District 4 champion Danville is home. They face Octorara. District 4 runner-up Shamokin is home. They play Valley View. District 4 third place, which is Lewisburg, they head out to Greater Johnstown and play the District 6 champs. Loyal Sock and Troy are home in 3A. Southern will head out to Forest Hills in Class 2 or Class 3A. They were the third place team in District 4. And I don't think in 2A that we have any local teams that are heading out. So it looks like, you know, we'll take a quick break here, the first break, and we should have Matt back on here when we return.
Great to be with you on this Tuesday. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. And of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It's only appropriate we have Brewers Outlet as this half hour's sponsor because we have Matt Cotrillo. All right.
I always love Brewers Outlet. You know that.
Yes. Yes.
For many different reasons.
Well, I know the primary reason I like it today. Go ahead.
Well, the primary reason I think we all need it, excuse me, is because of this 14-team CFP model proposal. So, as I said earlier on X...
You don't like it?
No. I literally say this now, and I'll say it again. Say what you want about the NCAA, and you and I both have extensively. The CFP and this whole committee is heading in the same direction because this 14-team playoff model is about as hypocritical as you can get. Now, first of all, dating back to when this all this conversation started, you and I were in agreement that stop with this gradual steps of going to 4 and then 12 and then 14, 16. Just get it to 16. I mean, you and I have been saying that for a while now, so that's one thing. But at least with the 12-team model, the group of five teams at least had a little bit of a shot to do something and at least had a chance. But now with this 14-team model, this really is all about the SEC and the Big Ten, and the CFP is basically saying, screw you to everybody else in Division I college football. Because the SEC and the Big Ten, of course, no offense to Penn State, three automatic qualifiers in both the SEC and the Big Ten, two in the ACC, two in the Big 12, one automatic group qualifier in the group of five, and then there's three at-large spots, which one of them can go to Notre Dame if they're in the CFP top 14. Now, as a Notre Dame fan, I guess that's fine, but even being a Notre Dame fan, that's not fair to the rest of the teams. Because then if Notre Dame is just in the top 14 because they are still going to be a stickler about being an independent and will never get up with the times of where college football is and join a conference like the Big Ten, for instance. I've been saying that for a while, too. All of a sudden, the group of five or anybody else that's eligible for an at-large spot gets screwed over if Notre Dame is in the top 14. I don't like that at all, and I'm a Notre Dame fan. So I thought this was supposed to be this whole expansion issue was all about giving these group of five teams more of a shot at doing something, especially after we saw from teams like Tulane that made a mark for themselves in this a couple of years ago. But no, it continues to be, and I get it, it's all about money, and it's not surprising. Especially because of the more big brand names you get in, the better, the more money, et cetera. But then if you look down at the finances, this is me just referencing Pete Dammel's report from last week, the SEC and Big Ten schools are getting a majority of the chunk anyway. So it really is just about the SEC and the Big Ten at this point, which I get it, that's how expansion's gone. But at the same time, we are heading in such a bad direction with college football if it just becomes about two conferences and that's it. I mean, obviously, you have teams that are going to expand into it, but it's just going to be no more of an issue than what it is right now for the for these teams that are not in the SEC and the Big Ten. So I propose this, if there's any sort of logic left in the CFP playoff committee, which I doubt there is you just give six automatic qualifiers for SEC and Big Ten, period, and then you give the rest of the automatic qualifiers to everybody else, ACC, Big 12, Group of Five, Notre Dame. They're all in the same category. Then I think that kind of evens everything out the most. But the fact that you're trying to break this down into the Big 12, then the Group of Five, then three at-larges, but it's really two if Notre Dame is still in there. I mean, this whole thing is just so convoluted and so hypocritical of what this whole expansion model was supposed to be in the first place that, I mean, it's just sickening to me.
Well, Notre Dame agreed to it because Jack Swarbrick at the time, the athletic director at Notre Dame, was on the original 12-team committee. So they agreed to the idea that, hey, look, we don't have to have the first-round bye. Right? So that was part of it. Right? So we start there. There's another element, too. It's the element of what do people want to watch. And the SEC and the Big Ten have a legitimate argument when they sit down in the room and they look at everybody. There are 18 schools that comprise 50% of the television viewership. 15 of the 18 are in the SEC or the Big Ten. The other three are Notre Dame, Florida State, and Clemson. There are none in the Big 12. Zero. Right? No offense. Iowa State's playing in a college football playoff game against Ohio State, for example. The vast majority of the audience watching the game is going to be Ohio State fans, right? Just the way it is. Now, if Iowa State ends up playing, I don't know, let's just pick an outlier here that wins the ACC. Let's just say Iowa State's playing Pitt, okay? What do you think the TV rating on that's going to be? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yep.
You referenced Tulane. Nobody watched the game. Right? This year, Liberty played Oregon. Lowest rated of all the New Year's Six games. Okay. Big day. Because, again, there is an interest factor. Part of what attracts TV to something is the ability of will people watch it. Group of five team will always has a spot in the 12, is going to have a spot in the 14. This is not about the idea of like, hey, this is great. Let's get Liberty and Coastal Carolina in. Oh, my goodness. That's the equivalent of VCU playing Butler in the Final Four a few years ago, which is still the lowest rated game. I mean, this past year, it was San Diego State and Florida Atlantic. Oh, I mean, I barely watched it. It's with all due respect, those teams earn their spots, but is who do you want to watch, right? And the SEC and the Big Ten have proven over and over again, they have deep and loyal fan bases people want to watch, and that's why they dominate the way they do. Now, you have to earn your spots. You have to earn your spots. Let's take the Big Ten basketball this year. Big Ten basketball this year is very good. It's not great. Right? Some years it's been great. This year it's been very good. Right? The Big 12 is probably the best and deepest basketball conference. The ACC, I had Joe Lenardi on last week. I'm sorry, Joe Lenardi made a great point that Wake Forest didn't like. He says you need to get better teams, better players. The ACC is not a great basketball conference this year. They're not. They're very good. They are not great. The Big 12, that's a great basketball conference. And so things do go in cycles. But it's also about what people want to watch. Remember how we talk, Matt, all the time about the NCAA tournament, the opening weekend? Everybody's got upsets left and right. I mean, the soup picks teams that aren't even in the tournament. It's a kind of a scary thing. I mean, it's just, he worries me.
Right. He always does. But, yeah, right. But then as it keeps, as those Cinderella teams keep going deeper, then is it really that much fun? Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, and that's a good point.
What time's the Duke-Kentucky game? I got you. Okay, I hear you. You know, and that's just the way viewing habits are right now. And I think the college football playoff, I think Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti know it. They're pushing an agenda. And I think that's 6 out of 14 spots. That means there are 8 others available. I'm not that concerned about it.
I mean, factually, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just I just hate it for everybody else at the rate this is going with college football. I mean, none of this is surprising, but I just don't like the direction that this is going in. That's just me.
Well, it's taken us too long to get to this point. It should have been 16, 20 years ago.
Right? Exactly.
It should have been that 20 years ago. They just can't. College football just can't get out of its own way. And then in college basketball, you have 68 works, and you got people pushing for more. It's like, hey, guys, okay.
That's crazy.
Right. You got it right now. Okay? No. Okay? No.
I mean, if they were to do that, to go beyond 68, then they're just ignoring of the stuff that we were just talking about, where it's the first, especially the first four, nobody really watches those. Everybody waits till the weekend. You're going to have more of those first four type matchups probably if you expand past 68, and what good is that going to do?
Yeah.
So, absolutely. I'm with you there.
Yeah. So, that's... that's going to be an issue, no question.
I'm for giving as many chances as you can to teams that deserve it, but there comes to a point where you have to draw the line in the sand, and I think we're there right now when it comes to March Madness.
I mean, could I get to 72? All right, where I'm adding 2 extra games in Dayton. Okay, that's... Four more.
I don't even at 72. Right. I would vehemently say no. I hated it when they went to 68.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought when March Madness was at 64, I thought that was perfect. Don't touch it. 68, I think to me was kind of like that. But I really didn't like it either because nobody really cares about the first four games. No offense to those teams. Well, most people don't.
No, but the way they do it, I like it, because they have 2 11s playing each other, you have 2 12s playing each other.
Yeah, at least they're competitive. Yeah, exactly right. I tend to watch and like the 11s than, say, the 16s,
right,
for instance.
Yeah. So
I think the way they do it, they can get by, but you can't go any further than what they're at right now.
Yeah. So, yeah. But say somebody was talking about 90. I'm like, 90?
Yeah, 90 is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Where I'm at this week. It's just everything continues to be convoluted and across college sports in general, but especially college football and college hoops.
Our old friend Mark Lawrence sent me a video of Greg Schiano, John Feinstein, Donald Remy, Congressman Dan Muser, right? At Bucknell. And of course, you know,
yes,
how highly I think of Greg, how highly I think of John, right? Really think highly of John. Donald Remy, COO, Chief Legal Officer, 2010 to 2020. You're all for life in court. What? It's like,
what? Exactly.
Okay. Strategies on how to lose? I mean, my first question to him would have been simple. Does anybody in your office understand antitrust law? Anybody?
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Birdie Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And here in the Sunbury Motor Studio, today's half hour sponsored by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey. Well, they're starting their journey From non-con to conference, step number three is the Big Ten Wrestling Championships down in College Park. Do we have Greg with us now? Is Greg all set?
No, that's tomorrow. I'm sorry.
It's going to be tomorrow. Let's see. All right. We got Neil today and Greg tomorrow. All right. All right. Great. And, yeah. All right. The one quick note on college football rules. It'll be April 18th when they vote on this. As I always mention, you know, this is the even year. Even years are when they make rule changes in both football and basketball. And the rule changes they have proposed for college football, you know, you can use tablets on the sideline and so forth. That's great. And so they're doing that. The communication and the helmets, I expect that to be approved. One on each side of the ball. So quarterback and, in all likelihood, you know, probably the middle linebacker. They'll have the green dot on it. And you have up until you can talk to them for the first 25 seconds of the 40-second play clock, but when it hits the 15, all communication on both sides automatically shuts down. The next one is the 2-minute warning. So let's get to a couple parts on the 2-minute warning, because again, the reporting on this has been shallow and the reaction to it has followed the reporting. So let's get to what the reality is of the 2-minute warning. The reality is of the 2-minute warning is this: it does not add a commercial break to the game. It'll be considered, it is the fourth commercial break of the second quarter. It is the fourth commercial break of the fourth quarter. The networks have four commercial breaks every quarter. It just means they have a hard break with 2 minutes to go. So you got all three of them out of the way to that point. You just keep playing until you get to the 2-minute warning. Anybody takes a timeout before that, it's a 30-second timeout. All right? The next part is that nobody has talked about is this. All the rules that kicked in the final 2 minutes last year, the first half and the second half, where the clock is stopped on a first down, will still be in play. So you get to the 2-minute warning, so there's your hard break right there. Fourth time out of the half, right? Right, fourth time out of the quarter for TV. And then after that, the old rules kick in where if you get a first down, there'll be a pause while they place the ball and the chains. So the pauses in the final 2 minutes that we've been so used to seeing in college football and then saw last year will still be in play in the last 2 minutes. Has anybody talked about that? No. But that is the reality of it, okay? They will vote on that April the 18th with the idea that they will make it official. Which is fine. I mean, some people say it's trending more toward the NFL. I think strategically, it brings up some interesting points. One of them is, you know, you're behind by a score. How do you handle your timeouts? Do you call the timeouts before the 2-minute warning? You know you have it. Okay. I think that's interesting. It's just like in college basketball. If I have three timeouts remaining and I'm losing with 2 minutes to go, I use two of them before the 1 minute mark. You know, I score a basket, I'll call a timeout. I'll score a basket, I'll call another timeout. Okay. Now, why am I waiting until the 1 minute mark the end of the game using my timeouts after made baskets if I'm the team that's behind. Oh, I don't know, because the clock stops on every made basket in the last minute. I don't need to call a timeout there. I need to hold the timeout because I might need it late, because if I want to talk to my team, yeah. That cost Illinois against Penn State. They had to call two timeouts because they couldn't get the ball in, and then they, at the end of the game, they didn't have any. But when you're the team that's behind, right, and you want to maximize the clock, you have all three timeouts remaining, you use two of them before you get to the one-minute mark, because the clock will be running if you don't on a made basket. Well, guess what? Use them there. You stop it, you probably save yourself. I don't know. You could save yourself anywhere from 3 to 5, 6 seconds, which you might need at the end. That's why you do it that way. It's something a lot of people don't think about. Because, you know, that's why you see the, you know, and hey, you know, it's 48 seconds left. He called the timeout. Well, you didn't really need to call a timeout. You just made a basket. You know, unless there's something you really wanted to strategically change or emphasize or get somebody in the game. I mean, that part I understand. But same thing with this. How do you want to use your timeouts before the end, you know, before you get to 2 minutes if you're the team that's behind? As opposed to not having it there, then it brings up a different way of going about it. This one adds in that additional timeout, and essentially you're sitting there with three. You feel like you got four. So, I mean, that's interesting. It brings with it a different thought process strategy as compared to before.
It's still amazing to me that they haven't approved tablets for college football. Most of the high school football teams around here have been using tablets and on-field films for 5-8 years.
Yeah, I mean, and that they're going to. I mean, this will be allowed. I mean, it's all part of the technology. Yeah, and they'll pass that.
I was going to say somebody can sponsor the tablets now.
Oh, jeez. Yes. Yeah, we already. Yeah, was it Microsoft Surface? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're all on the sideline with those things. Yeah, that's great. But yeah, I'm sure that somebody will come up with a deal somewhere. So those are the rules, but the two-minute thing, you know, I think people thought another commercial break was being added in. No. It takes up the number four spot on the second quarter and fourth quarter commercial breaks. You get four anyway. And then you also keep Roger from panicking in the booth. We got to get this break in. Roger's a two-minute warning. Okay, we're okay, Roger. It's all right, don't panic. And then the rules will revert back in that final two-minute spot like they did last year, where the clock will pause on first downs.
Okay.
Do the chains have to be set in college football?
Yeah.
I was going to say, they don't have to be set in high school anymore, just the ball has to be set.
Yeah, I mean, now you'll see that they're setting the ball and they're still moving the chains to get them into place. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot looser now.
Yeah.
It's exponentially looser. That's why you notice I didn't use the word stop.
Yeah.
What word did I use?
Pause.
That's right. Pause. That's what it is. It is a pause. But that's just enough to maybe, you know, get everybody set. Clock's not running at least for a moment. Okay, that's fine. Okay, the common mistake I see, and this is the one I love, right? Somebody will run somebody out there. Well, you know what? You're going. Well, why are you running somebody out there? Like, don't overthink it, okay? If I run somebody out there, that lets the defense. And you stop the game anyway. Like, what are you doing? It's like, no. Tell whomever it is to gut it out, run the play. It's like, come on. Oh, boy. Okay. I see that. I'll be watching college games, right? And they're driving, and they're pausing the clock, and they're moving, and then they run a receiver out there. Like, oh, what are you doing? Got to stop because the defense is allowed to counter. And believe me, the person leaving the field for the defense has all the time in the world to leave the field. They can walk off the field if they want.
Wasn't somebody doing that in one of the conference championship games? Making sure that their biggest player was the one jogging out to take up as much time as possible?
Yep. And you got all the time in the world to do it. Clock's running. Clock's running. You can't even spike the ball because you can't snap the ball until... Great. I mean, I've seen that happen. I'll be watching bowl games. Like, teams trying to come out. Like, what are you doing? Why'd you sub? Now, there are teams that do it when a play happens on their sideline. Okay. And you watch the personnel and they snuck somebody in. That happens all the time. Like, it gets, like, the play is near their sideline. They get a first down. Everybody gets up. They run a receiver out, took some guy out because it was on their sideline already, like, a yard away. Like, oh, yeah. Ole Miss is good at that. I saw Ole Miss do that. I'm like, going, what are you doing? You're not allowed to do that. Ole Miss is good at that.
I find it hard to believe Lane Kiffin would skirt the letter of the law.
Oh, I know. It's like, you know, because the Ole Miss sideline was on the sideline that we were on to do that as on the broadcast side. So it's happening right in front of us. We're like, oh, Jack and I are like, you can't do that. Oh, it's 22 people. Somebody got lost in the wash. That's, you know, that's what makes officiating so hard. You're trying to see something like that. That's difficult. Yeah, that is not easy. All right, big game tonight is Purdue and Illinois. That's at Champaign tonight. Game's on Peacock, so America won't see it. let's put the game in the witness protection program. And that game is at 7:00 tonight. That should be a pretty good game. That should be a pretty good game. See, what you have here at this point, let's talk about the Big Ten for a moment. I think when I was talking to Matt, just because you're the ACC and you have a big name doesn't mean you have a great year for your conference. The ACC is not having a great year. They're very good, but not a great conference. The Big 12 is having a great year. Really deep, a lot of teams, a lot of talent. You look at the ACC, I mean, you have a team right now fighting to get in Virginia. Joe Lenardi has them as the last four in. Do you realize in the last five games that Virginia has played, they have cracked 50 points once in the five games? Really? I'd hate to be in the ticket department there, trying to sell season tickets to that.
I was going to say they're a Tony Bennett team, though. They're probably 3-2 in that stretch, though.
No, they have. Well, you know what? They have not been winning.
Wow.
no, because remember, I mean, Duke just beat them.
Yeah, I watched that.
They got clobbered by who clobbered them? Virginia Tech clobbered them. I mean, I'm talking like really, like holy mackerel. Like clobbered them, and let's see here. Do they play tonight? No, they don't. But I mean, record-wise, I mean, look, they're 12-7 in the league. I got it. They're 21-9 overall. I got it. But goodness gracious, you look at what they've done. Of late? I mean, North Carolina beat him 55-44. Oops. I realize they no longer have the what have you done in the final 12 game part. You know, it's the entire, you know, full body of work. You know, I remember Penn State got in last year. You know, the fact that they beat Furman in November, that was a big win. The fact that they beat Illinois in December, that was a big win. Beating Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, especially the margins by which they won in January, all big wins to help set up Penn State for what turned out to be eventually the starting of the second half of February, a big run. But you look at this. I mean, this is okay. Duke, 73-48. They lost by 25 points. Okay. The one game they cracked was Boston College, 72-68. Before that, lost 54-44 to North Carolina. Virginia Tech, I said they clobbered them. Oh, they clobbered them. How about the way, 34 points, 75-41. The other game they won was Wake Forest, 49-47. So when you look at them in their last five games, they have cracked 50 points once, and they're 2-3. Now, they're 2-4 if you go back to the Pitt game before that because Pitt beat them 74-63. But my goodness, that is a brutal stretch of offensive basketball. So let's have some fun here. Let's look and see. They are shooting a whopping 43% from the field.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing in the ACC, 43%. Yeah, Lee, this is a rough group. 65% at the free throw line?
Ugh.
They score 62 points a game in the ACC. They give up 62 points a game. And that's a bubble team. But they're 21-9. Give them credit.
The way they're playing, they got another week to play themselves out of the bubble yet, too.
Well, they went on a run between January 17th and February 10th, Virginia. This is why they're a bubble team. They beat Virginia Tech at home, won at Georgia Tech, won in overtime at home against North Carolina State, won at Louisville, beat Notre Dame, won at Clemson by one. That's a big win. Beat Miami and held Miami to 38 points. Beat Florida State. It's not till this last stretch where they've lost four of the last six where you're like, and suddenly out of nowhere, cannot score. Stunning. People may be wondering about Terrence Shannon. He's going to play tonight. Is there anything legally for Terrence Shannon that keeps him from playing in the NCAA tournament? No. The preliminary hearing for Shannon is May 18th, I believe. That is when his preliminary hearing happens to be, on May 18th. And so he is cleared for the rest of the college basketball season. The preliminary hearing could affect what happens with him with the NBA draft. One way or the other, pro or con. So, all right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. The EA Sports game, by the way, Arch Manning making some news because he opted out. I don't think I've heard of really anybody else really opting out of you. I mean, I realize it's $600. I mean, like, okay. But see, the players love the fact they're in the game. Right? It's not just the money, but they're in the game. Like they get a free game, by the way, if they opt in.
He was the only one that I saw. His quote was a little odd, though.
Yeah, I want to concentrate on the field or whatever. I'm like, okay.
okay, you know.
I saw I think it was Brandon McCarthy, former major league pitcher, said that's why he retired. He was so tired of being on call at all nights when people picked up their controllers.
Yeah. But that's, yeah, he's the only one I think I've seen opt out. I mean, the Penn State players have been opting in left and right because it's not the $600. They love the idea that they're in the game. I mean, how would you like it, Todd, if you were in the game?
Oh, I've been known to design myself in Major League Baseball to run through a Major League career.
And how well have you done?
Oh, I always boost everything up. I'm great.
See, and these guys get to do it and they get a game out of it. So they get the game, which is a $70 value. And so, don't discount the fact that the players love that they're in the game. Don't discount that. Because when the game was active before and I was around players that were playing it, they'd always say to me, "Hey, Mr. Jones, check it out. I'm in the game." That's why I always laughed about it. They have to compensate these guys, which they do. But they were more happy that they were in than the money. Today's half hour has been brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness. Opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey. Neil Kolong joins our journey next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK from the Sunbury Motors Studio.